League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's Durafighter interior paint is a paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's Durafighter paint and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheeled. I am your host, Lewis Duncan, and joining me, as ever, is Oriol Puigdemont. And on this week's show, we're discussing all of the action and all of the breaking news from a very exciting British Grand Prix weekend. But Yuri, I think we have to start really with the big breaking news of the last week, which was, of course, the announcement that 15-time MotoGP race winner and a 3-time championship runner-up Andrea Dovizioso is going to retire, not at the end of the season, but in a couple of races' time after Misano. I mean, we knew, you know, Dovizioso had said for some time, or it indicated for some time, that he wasn't going to be on the grid next year, but I don't quite think we expected the announcement that did come.
Well, no. I was hoping that Dovi was going to finish the season before retiring, but in the end I think that this retirement comes already too late for him. I think he should have been retired since the last time he did it, because this was a sad return considering the results he's been able to achieve. And yeah, it's sad that he's gonna end up his career like this. That's at least my opinion.
Yeah, it is sad. I mean, since he returned at Misano last year on the 2-year-old Petronas bike, you know, he's only scored 22 points. We know the Yamaha has been a difficult bike to get used to, and I had an interview with Dovizioso on the Friday after the announcement. It was meant to be Thursday and then got cancelled for obvious reasons. And he says he was totally surprised by just how difficult it has been to adapt to the Yamaha. Of course, he does know the bike in an older incarnation. He scored 6 podiums on an M1 at Tech 3 in 2012, having come from a Honda. But, you know, he spoke a lot about, you know, everything has changed, you know, in a very short space of time, everything has changed. The rules have changed, the championship has changed, the bikes are, you know, with all the devices and things on them. It seems like him stepping away the last time when he lost his Ducati ride came at the absolute worst point, because it came at the point when the championship was in this change.
Yes, but for me, the most sad thing is that he was not able to read the situation clear. So at that point, there was a drop of salaries in MotoGP, and Ducati offered him a salary reduction, but Ducati was offering him a factory bike, and he decided to don't sign, and he preferred to leave. And that's my point of view, lack of perspective or lack of view, because after that he decided to come back in a much worse situation, in a much worse condition, in a satellite team with a factory bike, but a bike that he haven't been ridden for many years, and a really difficult bike to adapt. So that's why I say that he didn't have the ability to read the situation clear.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, the decision to quit after Misano has obviously forced Yamaha to put Cal Crutchlow on the bike, which probably isn't the best thing because it will detract from its testing program. You know, there's not a lot of testing can be done on a race weekend, so I think it's not an ideal situation from Yamaha's point of view. But I think from a personal point of view, from Dovizioso, if you're not enjoying riding a bike, this is too dangerous a sport to just be here to make up the numbers. So I guess going out in his home race is the best the best kind of end to a difficult situation.
Yeah. I mean, considering the non-ideal situation, put it this way, this is the most logical way out for him.
Yeah, for sure.
And Yamaha.
Yeah, 100%. It's a typically kind of Dovizioso thing because he's not really had a he's not been very conventional over his career. You know, Honda to Tech 3 to Ducati and becoming a title challenger so late in his career. It's been an odd run for him, but you know, we wish him the best of luck in whatever he does next, and hopefully he has a final good couple of races. It's, you know, focusing on the championship now and the British Grand Prix. It was a surprising race, I think, is fair to say. It didn't really go how we kind of expected for a number of reasons. First of all, pre-race favourite Fabio Quartararo had a penalty. You know, his title rival Aleix Espargaró had a big crash in FP4. The Ducatis were kind of not really that competitive, Zarco aside. And yet Bagnaia came away with a win, is now back in championship contention. 49 points is still a big gap, but it's a lot smaller than it was a few races ago when it was 91. Fabio only gained a point on Aleix in a race where he should have done more. The championship picture is very different now.
Yes, 100%. And I think that now, especially Fabio can feel the pressure from the riders behind, especially, I mean, in my opinion, he was feeling the pressure from Aleix, but now he's feeling the pressure not only from Pecco, but also from Ducati. Because I think we're going to see, we should see a pretty strong Ducati in Spielberg in 2 weeks' time. So I think they, and don't forget that they have a lot of bikes on the grid and a lot of competitive bikes and competitive riders. So Ducati can play with a lot of cards, a lot more cards than Yamaha that only has Fabio. He is completely alone up there. So I think it will be interesting. In my opinion, Aleix, that we just got the news that he has a small fracture in the foot. I think Aleix can count with Maverick.
Yes.
Because Maverick, I think he has arrived and he's super willing to do a good job in Spielberg. So I think, as you mentioned, the picture has changed quite a bit after this last race.
Yeah, and you have to say, at least in part, this championship picture has changed because of that Assen crash between Fabio and Aleix, because had Fabio not had the penalty, chances are he probably would have won the Grand Prix, because with Zarco crashing out, Fabio would have been released, and we know how quick he is when the Yamaha has clear air at a track like Silverstone.
Yeah. And especially, sorry about that, especially because after what happened in Assen, Fabio was really, really, really upset, not only with the stewards, but also with himself for the mistake. And here in Silverstone, he was thinking that it was the perfect chance to overcome the situation and to redeem himself from that error. And it didn't happen. It was opposite, actually, because he went out from Silverstone even more worried than before the summer break after Assen.
He was asked in his debrief, are there any tracks coming up that suit the Yamaha? And he says, yes, there are tracks we can be fast, but there are no tracks now that suit the Yamaha compared to the rivals. Hard acceleration points, heavy braking, things like that, top speed. We go to Austria, we go to Misano, tracks where Pecco is quick. We've seen the Aprilia is quick everywhere. And you made the very good point there that Aprilia now has Maverick there. You know, Maverick, you're right, Maverick's arrived, he's figured out qualifying, so now his races are stronger. Aleix is strong, whatever the situation. Pecco's now figured out the 22 Ducati, and like you say, all of those eight Ducatis, you know, every race, at least five or six of them are very, very competitive.
Yeah, that's another thing. I mean, in my opinion, you know, Fabio is, don't get me wrong, but let me try to explain the analogy. Fabio now at the moment is a bit like when Lewis Hamilton starts to see the things in a negative way. You know, when he's driving and he starts to, over the radio, apparently looking the things much worse than what they really are. So I think now this is Fabio at the moment. And we've seen Fabio super fast on tracks where he shouldn't be for the Yamaha, like Mugello, he didn't win there, but he was super fast. I would prefer to don't make big assumptions, because I think it all depends on him and how he's going to be able to approach the situation.
We have seen before, though, that, you know, you think back to 2020 when the situation got worse for him, it then kept getting worse and worse and worse, and he himself struggled to get out of that. He worked a lot on that over the winter that year and was better 2021, but didn't really have a situation where he was challenged. You know, his big mistake last year came in Portimao at the end of the year when the championship was won. He's now made a mistake in Assen at a very critical point of a championship that has never, at one stage, looked like it was his to lose, but very quickly is now different.
Yeah, I think next races, in that regard, next races in Austin, Misano, and especially Aragon, will give us a more clear picture about the real chances for Pecco. Because if he is able to reduce the gap a bit, I think he will be in the fight. He will be in the fight. Because I think last year he was a bit late on that. But this year, still 49 points is quite a big gap. But I think that he is able. And don't forget Aleix. I mean, Aleix is there. And in my opinion, he's going to be there all the time. All the time. Okay. Anything can happen, you know, a crash like it happened last Saturday, or somebody crash into him, or mechanical problem or whatever, but it can happen to all of them. But on paper, I think Aleix will be there most of the time, most of the races, because he's been so far.
Yep, I agree. And then we go into this point of the championship at the end of the year, which is we've not had for a few years, you know, Japan, Thailand, Australia, those races, we've not had them on the calendar for a while. So that throws in a new, you know, a new unknown, which at this, with the way Yamaha is right now and the situation Fabio's found himself in, he can't really afford to go into unknown situations.
And again, don't forget that Aleix is the one with, in my opinion, less to lose. Let me explain. Of course, Fabio obviously is the one with more to lose, because he is not only the current champion, but also the one in front. Okay, so it's up to him to lose the championship. Pecco and Ducati were seen as a title contenders. They haven't been, for different kind of reasons. The bike was not ready, blah, blah, blah. But they should be fighting for the title. Meanwhile, Aleix hasn't. On paper, nobody saw him as a title contender. So now he says, I'm the one with less to lose. So I will be full attack. And if I can make it, that would be awesome. If don't, it would have been a really, really, really funny season. So
yeah. I mean, if you actually try and think about when we get to the end of the season, who's champion, it's still very hard to imagine Aleix Espargaró and Aprilia as world champions. Yeah. I think you're right. That's something they need to just play with and use it to their advantage.
And if they are there, it's because they have done the things much better than most of the others. Only Fabio.
They've done a fantastic job this year, and I think that extends. You saw that at the weekend as well with Maverick. You know, the Aprilia put a lot of belief into Maverick and perseverance, and you know, when we thought maybe a little bit his seat was maybe under threat for next year, they put two more years in front of him, and they've been rewarded for that. Because
I've been surprised. I'm super surprised about Maverick, not only on track, but also his mental situation, his quietness, his stability. I'm the personal one. So I'm super surprised, and at the same time, super glad, because you speak with him and you know that he's super happy at the moment.
Yeah, it's the happiest we've seen Maverick for a long time. And even kind of a few races ago, when maybe things were still, he was still figuring them out, there was still positive, he was still staying positive. You could see, you know, you could see that things were going to work at some point. And, you know, but the click has been very instant, you know, almost instant. You know, Germany was the first kind of sign of that, then Assen, then he came very close to victory at Silverstone. All weekend he was very quick. It's the Maverick that Yamaha was never quite able to get looks like he is now finally
there were also doubts. I remember last year speaking with few Aprilia people, and they were having doubts because he was not able to adapt his riding style into this new different bike, into the Aprilia. But now with the time and with the races and with all the data and the job done by Aprilia, which is huge, now apparently, in my opinion, for next year, they will be one of the perfect matches.
Yeah, and you have to think, if Aleix can fight for a championship this year, a Maverick Vinales that has figured things out on this bike will be a championship challenger next year, because we know how quick Maverick is. People, you know, his hit rate in terms of victories and stuff isn't brilliant, but you talk to a lot of riders and they'll tell you that, you know, one of the fastest riders out there is Maverick. A Maverick who, on his day, is almost unbeatable.
I mean, as you said, if Maverick has been able to figure out how to ride the Aprilia on its top of performance, I think, of course, they should be the most balanced couple for next year. I would say that they will be quite similar than what we should have expected from Rins and Mir and Suzuki, to riders with kind of a similar level, super fast and with a good bike. So no big difference between them.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of Suzuki, it wasn't really the weekend we thought it was going to be either. And again, this weird kind of run since they made this announcement carries on, where, you know, things on track happen, but it just seems like Suzuki can't catch a break. Rins was very strong, but then had a tyre problem, was seventh. Mir crashed out. But it was very surprising how Rins was able to kind of make the jump from so far back on the grid. Wow. And be a fight for victory. Mir couldn't really make that progress.
Alex made one of the most crazy, in a weird way, starts that I've seen for a long time. I mean, starting 11th and being able to go on the outside and overtaking five riders, it was awesome to see him making that start. But yeah, and he was super fast at the beginning. He was able. He was able to lead the race for a while. He was able to open a gap, but then he started to struggle with the tire and then he dropped off.
Mm. Yeah, and it's a shame because everything is there. Both riders talk about how good the bike is, and it just doesn't quite seem to have clicked. And I guess, yes, the situation with the team leaving doesn't help, but you know, there's not many races left, and you kind of get the impression that both riders are getting a little bit impatient to really make something happen.
Well, and I think that Mir is more impatient than Rins, because he hasn't been announced for Honda yet. We all know that it should be done. It should be announced in soon. But of course, it's not an easy situation for him, considering that it's one of his worst seasons in MotoGP, and that he's supposed to be the next Marc Márquez teammate, which is not an easy position. And you can ask Paul Espargaró about that.
Yeah, for sure. And Jorge Lorenzo and Danny Pedrosa.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. It's I spoke to Mir at the weekend, and he's fed up of having to answer questions about Honda. He said he wants to have it announced soon because it's obviously getting to him a little bit. He says it's kind of, he feels it's disrespectful to talk about a Honda when Suzuki is about to leave and that team is about to lose its job. But you also get the sense that it is a distraction.
It is what it is. I mean, the situation, we haven't created that situation. So it is what it is. And it happens all the time, not only in MotoGP, in all the world. A company is shutting down and these kind of things. But unfortunately, we all put the focus on the riders. And because this is a very special and rare, strange situation where everybody knows that he will end up on the Repsol Honda letters, but we are still waiting. We are going to wait two more weeks for Paul Espargaró announcement. So I have the feeling that KTM has all the keys, because Austria, because the deadlines, because they are controlling half of the market, they're still not winning, but they have all the keys.
Things are really exciting now. You know, it's very hard to predict where the championship's going to go, because a few races ago, 100%, it was Fabio's championship. Now, it's hard to say that. You know, Pecco looks very, very strong, stronger than we've seen him all year. And Aleix, once he's back up to full fitness, will be there. Plus, you've got the new players in Maverick, and it's very, very hard to predict.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I mean, Ducati has a lot of cars, has a lot of bikes that, I mean, many people can be fast there. They can put a lot of bikes in between Pecco and Fabio if they are able to. So and of course Fabio needs to start more in front, and of course avoiding any penalties, because the race we had last Sunday showed that the Yamaha, as he said, when he's into the traffic, is a completely different bike than when he can be in front and open a gap.
Yeah, for sure. On that note, Yuri, we'll end it there. Thank you very much, as always, for your company.
Thank you very much.
And thank you to the listeners as well for continuing to follow the Tank Slappers podcast. We'll be back after the Austrian Grand Prix hopefully with another exciting race and another twist in the championship tale, and I'm sure there'll be lots of rider market stuff to talk about. But until the very next time, keep following Autosport and motorsport.com for all of your MotoGP news and features and all the rest of it. And until the next time, it's a very warm goodbye.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.